Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Marvel Chronology episode, and today we're going to be continuing the Thanos reading order. I'm going to be talking about King Size Annual Number 7, The Avengers. And basically, this is the first time Thanos shows up after the events of the End of the Warlock series. So the credits are listed as follows. Finishes, Joe Rubinstein. So you can think of that as inks, I suppose. Lettering by Tom Orzechowski. Colors are by Petra Goldberg. Editing is Archie Goodwin. And other manual labor, Jim Starlin. So, you know, Starlin wrote it. He drew it and plotted it, I guess. I mean, it's kind of rare that you see Starlin not color his own early work. And I think this was kind of the start of him not coloring his own work. But the other thing is, you know, Rubinstein, I kind of am hot and cold on his inks. Some of his ink work, I think, is really good. But there are other times where I feel like he puts a little bit too much of himself into the inks. And then it doesn't look like the actual penciler that drew it. And this is kind of one of those times. There are some panels here that it just, and some whole pages really, where I look at it and I'm like, man, that art is really not very good. And certainly doesn't look like Starlin. I mean, Starlin's art has this very distinctive look, right? It's the lines are fine and it's got a real flair to it. And there's certain pages here, especially the first couple, where the art is just, it's not recognizable as Starlin at all. And, you know, the colors may have something to do with that as well. So it's not my favorite inker over Starlin. I'll just say that. So anyway, the issue is called The Final Threat. I am not sure why this story, which is really a two-part story in King Size Avengers Annual Number 7, and the second part is in Marvel 2-in-1 Annual Number 2, and this is the first time in this issue that we get a hint of the existence of the Infinity Gems, as they're called here, Infinity Stones, if you want to use the Marvel Cinematic Universe terminology. But again, I'm not sure why Marvel decided to release this two-part story, the end, basically, of the story that Starlin was crafting with Thanos, at least for now, in these two annuals. It's so strange, I guess, because Warlock had gotten canceled and the story was created. Starlin wanted to create it. I'm just not sure. It's a very kind of strange thing, and they're not even necessarily, you know, it's not noted on the cover like, hey, this is part one of two or what have you. And you don't necessarily have to read the second part. Like, this is somewhat of a complete story. And the other part with Spider-Man and the Thing is somewhat of a complete story as well. I mean, obviously they do go together, but if you read one, you know, at the time, if you read one and not the other, you weren't completely lost and didn't know what was going on. But it's definitely a continuation of the story of Thanos that Starlin started way back in the Captain Marvel series. So let's get to the story itself. As I said, mostly done by Jim Starlin. We have Avengers Assemble on the first page along the right side. Gives us kind of the lineup of who we're going to see here. We've got Beast, Captain America, Iron Man, Moondragon, who's a sometimes Avenger, Scarlet Witch, Thor, and Vision. Special guest star Captain Marvel. And we see that Adam Warlock is walking along this planetoid, as it's called. There's ruins, and so looks like clearly this planetoid has been destroyed, and there's no real reason for Warlock to hurry, and it says as much. You know, his steps are steady but unhurried, for it's obviously too late, and everything has been destroyed, and he comes along the body of Gamora, and Gamora says, you know, thank you. The stars, you've come at last. The master left me for dead. And Warlock's a little surprised, saying, wait, he did this to you? You who have served him so faithfully, why? And we did see in that last issue of Warlock that Gamora had her suspicions that Thanos was planning something and keeping secrets from her. And that was confirmed by Thanos himself doing what villains do when they twirl their mustaches, which is speak out loud and talk about their plans. So Gamora goes on to tell Adam Warlock, I uncovered stellar genocide. He hates all life. He's quite mad, you know. Well, he's the Mad Titan. So, and Gamora goes on to say, yeah, he wants to kill everybody. Now he's got the power to do so. You have to stop him. You're the only person in the universe who can. You're the only person in the universe he fears. And Warlock gets all fired up and says, as well he should, for there's no place among the stars where he will be safe from me. And he pulls Gamora's soul into the soul gem so that she won't, because her body's about to die, doesn't want her to, you know, basically die forever. So, hey, let me, you know, take your soul and maybe we can find you another body later on. And again, this is one of those pages where it just doesn't necessarily look like Starlin art. Rubenstein's put a little too much of himself. And so Warlock's all fired up and he's saying, it was revealed to me that this person who I thought was my ally, because remember when he had encountered Warlock, or when Warlock had encountered Thanos before, Thanos had helped him defeat Magus, the evil version of Warlock. So he's always been an ally to Warlock up until this point. But now he realizes that, yes, he's a herald of anti-life, the ultimate death, and Warlock himself is supposed to be the champion of life. So they're natural enemies. And Warlock, as I said, all fired up, says, "For I am the savior, the godslayer, the demon, the avenging hand of light, Adam Warlock." And he heads off toward Earth, apparently, is what we're told. Meanwhile, at Avengers Mansion, it's a very rainy night. It's late in New York. Thunder, lightning. And for some reason, Iron Man is there just staring out the window because, according to the conversation he has with Vision, that Scarlet Witch puts him up to, he senses that there's something wrong. Right? Like, normally Tony Stark wouldn't even be there at that time of night. And why would he be staring out the window? And, you know, he's saying, I just arrived here tonight. I have this inexplicable feeling of danger, that there's something important about to happen. I can't bring myself to leave. And all of a sudden a voice off panel says, "That's because you're meant to be here on this night, just as we are." And we see that it's Captain Marvel and Moondragon. And when they ask what's brought them there, they say, "Well, the same siren call of fate that brought you." You know, there's something going on. There's something that is on the winds, so to speak. And the way Moondragon puts it, "The four winds spoke with me this eve, Avengers. They told me of a horror that comes this way, a horror that can be stopped only by a gathering of eagles." So apparently the Avengers are eagles. So each of the Avengers kind of lost in their own thoughts. And the scene shifts to a star, apparently far away, a certain bright young star. And we see the ship of Thanos, Sanctuary 2, as it's known, fire a beam at the star that goes from being a yellow type star, a yellow type sun, causes it to flare and burn hotter, which turns it to a red, a fiery red, and then a blinding white. And then finally it explodes. All of a sudden, Moondragon cries out, "It has begun." She says she felt the psychic streams of millions. And so the Avengers are wondering, okay, what's going on? Beast is skeptical, saying, you know, this is just paranoia. When all of a sudden a voice from off panel says, apparently it's not as amusing as blind cynicism, referring to paranoia. And Thor calls out him, because that's what Adam Warlock was known as the last time Thor saw him. And Warlock is basically there to tell them, okay, there is something horrible coming, and I came here to get your help against a mutual adversary. You know him as Thanos. I will also mention, this is another page, especially on the last panel, where Rubenstein hasn't done any favors to Jim Starlin's work. It's really bad. Anyway, on the next page, Adam Warlock basically goes on to summarize the events, the life of Thanos as we know it so far, as it been shown in the Warlock series and the Captain Marvel series before that. I'm not going to go into the recap, obviously, because if you've been listening to the Thanos Reading Order, you already know all this stuff. And if you don't, then you can go back and listen to the Thanos Reading Order. But he basically says, yeah, he's born on Titan, talks about how he fell in love with death and eventually decided to take over, destroy Titan and destroy his beginnings and take over the cosmic cube to have enough power to rule the galaxy. And so new information here. And again, some of this has changed a little, been retconned over the years, talks about Captain Marvel destroying the cosmic cube. And then what we're told here is that Thanos was then kind of floating in space and his ship was pre-programmed. His space arc was pre-programmed to come and retrieve him. Obviously we know it's the Blood Brothers that came and retrieved him according to Thanos Annual 1. And we have that whole story that Jim Starlin did and kind of shoehorned it in. But then apparently the new information we get here is that because of his defeat, death abandoned him. And so, you know, spurned and having lost the, I won't call her a woman, but the entity that he loved, Thanos decides that he needs to find a way to win back her love, right? So he's going to have to kill a ton of people. And so what he found was in a scroll that was found on a dead world, he learns about the Infinity Gems or Infinity Stones, as they're known in the MCU. And this is the first time in the Marvel continuity, Marvel comics, that we're told about these. And it says, yeah, there were six beautiful gems and each one had awesome power. Together, they could accomplish everything Thanos wanted. And he was determined that the six, they're called soul gems is what they're called originally here. Obviously, we know now that the soul gem is only one of them, but Adam Warlock refers to them as soul gems. And he says he stole one from the Stranger, found another one on a prison satellite, found another one on a world called Denim 4. A fourth one he obtained after he slew a monster called Zambor. The fifth was abandoned on the moon by a man known as Gardner, which we know is one of the elders of the universe, and that who showed up in an issue of Hulk. And then the last one is Adam Warlock's own soul gem that he wears on his forehead. And this is where it gets a little wonky here. Warlock basically says, yeah, Thanos was pretending to be my ally against the Magus. And what he was really doing is siphoning off elements of the gem so that he could then take elements of the other five gems that he already possessed and transfer the properties of all those gems into a synthetic large gem and call that his soul gem. So again, it's a little weird. Sarlin doesn't have like all the idea fleshed out yet for the Infinity Gauntlet. They're all soul gems. They're all different colors. Thanos has five of the six, but fears to actually go and try to take the soul gem from Adam Warlock because Thanos doesn't want his own soul stolen. So, yeah, it's a little wonky here. Obviously, later on, he fleshes out the idea, bring all the gems together. They all have different names, you know, soul gem, time gem, and all that. And, you know, they all go inside the Infinity Gauntlet. But this is the beginnings of that, right? So then Adam Warlock talks about how Gamora confronted Thanos, tried to stab him in the back once she realized what the master plan was to basically have galactic genocide. And Gamora tried to stab him, but she was unable to kill him. The blade was not strong enough, and he turned and slew her. And the reason that Adam Warlock knows all this stuff is, you know, having found Gamora there in the last moments of her life and taking her soul into the soul gem, when people's souls inhabit the soul gem, Adam Warlock then has their knowledge. He gains their knowledge. So that's kind of Adam Warlock catching everybody up on what's going on and Thanos' plan to basically blow out every star in the heavens. So meanwhile, out in space, we see that Pip the Troll has decided to pay a visit to Thanos. I guess things haven't been really going well. And last Pip knew, Adam Warlock and Thanos and Gamora were all still hanging out. So he docks with Sanctuary 2, climbs down the airlock. Yoo-hoo, anybody home? Adam, Gamora, Thanos, it's your favorite degenerate troll, Pip, coming to call. You know, how things been going, and nobody's there. And Pip's like, huh? Well, the one good thing about nobody being here is, you know, Thanos is not here. I don't have to deal with him. And then Thanos grabs him from behind and Pip's like, hey, Thanos, how's it going? Good friend, old buddy. Remember we're friends. And Thanos is like, it's true. There was a time I had to pretend to be the friend of Adam Warlock and thus in turn be civil toward you, but let's just say things have changed. Meanwhile, back on Earth, Adam Warlock, as I said, has just relayed all this information to the Avengers. When the Avengers get a call from StarCore, which is sort of a precursor to Alpha Flight when they were in space, I guess it's this orbital tracking station that's supposed to give Earth warning of cosmic threats, and they have detected this massive invasion fleet out past Pluto that is heading toward Earth. So the Avengers immediately saddle up, including Captain Marvel and Moondragon. They figure, okay, this is Thanos' fleet. He's coming to destroy our star. We have to stop him. We have to do whatever we can to keep him from destroying the sun. So over the next couple of pages, as the Avengers are flying out toward Pluto, we get a little insight. Starling gives us a little insight into each of these characters and what they're thinking. We see Moondragon and her thoughts, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Thor, Vision, Captain America, Beast, and everybody but, oh no, we do get Thor, Scarlet Witch. And once they get out there past Pluto, they realize that there's no way they're going to be able to destroy all these ships. There's literally thousands of ships. And so what they decide to do is that they're going to send everybody to try to knock out Thanos' Starburster weapon, and they're going to have Thor and Iron Man run interference while everybody else goes and tries to destroy that, the main weapon, basically. They're going to try to destroy the Death Star, as it were, while Thor and Iron Man run interference. So we see over the next couple of pages, Thor and Iron Man do just that while the rest of the heroes invade Sanctuary 2, and they're met with some resistance, but it's not a lot of resistance. And Captain Marvel is immediately suspicious. And as he uses his cosmic awareness to kind of batter down the last door to get to the control room, he thinks he's going to find the answers he's looking for, but he doesn't expect to like the answers he's going to find. And I should also mention that right as the Avengers learned about this invading fleet, when they turned around to leave Earth on their ships and what have you, they noticed Adam Warlock had disappeared, and they did a quick search in the mansion, but couldn't find him. Couldn't spend any more time wondering where Adam Warlock had gone to, because they needed to get out there and try to stop this invading fleet. So meanwhile, when Captain America busts down this door, what he finds is there's Adam Warlock and there's Pip the Troll. Pip the Troll in this catatonic state, and Adam Warlock saying that Pip was basically the opposite to him. He was joy and light to my darkness and damnation. And Thanos has destroyed his mind and left him for me to find. And so he's not going to leave Pip in this horrible state, this living death. So he absorbs Pip's soul into the soul gem, and then tells Captain Marvel, you know, it's time to stop Thanos. If you want to stop Thanos, please come with me. I know where he hides. So come to find out, this ship that they've been attacking all this time, the reason the resistance wasn't overwhelming and there wasn't a ton of guards and people to prevent the Avengers from going and destroying that Starburster weapon, is because this is just a decoy. It's just a decoy with enough of Thanos' mercenaries to keep the Avengers occupied so that they would be busy fighting there, and Thanos could approach the sun on the opposite side and use his Starburster weapon to destroy the sun. So Thanos is actually 180 degrees on the other side with the sun in between to block. And so Adam Warlock, with his abilities, is able to sense that. He brings Captain Marvel along, and they head to the real ship, and Captain Marvel takes out the projector that is going to send the beam, the ion laser projector, that's going to send the beam into the sun to blow it up. But in doing so and knocking that out, Captain Marvel's rendered unconscious. And so Thanos says, well, you only delayed the inevitable. You're unconscious, but my gem is still fine. I just have to replace the ion laser projector with another ion laser projector, and then I can still destroy the sun and be able to complete my task of stellar genocide. And then a voice off panel says, will you? And it's Adam Warlock, who is, extremely mad for Thanos having killed Gamora, who Adam Warlock has had romantic feelings for in the past, as well as killing his only friend, or who Warlock considers his only friend, Pip the Troll. So he attacks Thanos very ferociously. Adam Warlock, the God Slayer, has come for you, demon. Prepare to die. And Thanos backhands him and then fires off a beam. And very quickly, Adam Warlock crumples. And Thanos is even kind of surprised. He's like, wow, even this poor deluded maniac who claimed to be the champion of life, he died so quickly. Please tell my mistress Death that I'm bringing her an offering of undreamed of magnitude, the stars themselves. And then he thinks to himself, how strange. I didn't think it would be so easy. He was the Adam Warlock, he was the chosen hero of chaos and order, and this champion of life abandoned life so casually. I don't understand. But what Adam Warlock has done is he's delayed the inevitable long enough for Thor and Iron Man to show up, and Thor says as much. You know, he lingered long enough for us to reach you. And as Thor takes on Thanos hand to hand, Iron Man goes and destroys the gem. And Thanos is, you know, obviously upset about that. He yells out, "No, my gem, you destroyed my star gem. The one chance I had to regain that which I love." And before they can stop him, Thanos teleports away, saying, "You know, you have destroyed the means to fulfill my dreams, but you've earned the enmity of Thanos of Titan, but you only have a few minutes left of life anyway." And he teleports away. So meanwhile, in the other part of the chamber, Captain Marvel has regained consciousness. And as he looks on at this Adam Warlock who is on death's door, we see another Adam Warlock show up, and we see that Adam Warlock take the soul of the Adam Warlock that Thanos just nearly killed. And this closes the circle that we saw in the Adam Warlock series, where one Adam Warlock came and took the soul of another Adam Warlock, because the Adam Warlock that just confronted Thanos and appeared to die so easily, that version of Adam Warlock is the version of Adam Warlock that eventually would have evolved into the evil Magus. So in that Warlock story, and again, go back and listen to it, I know it gets a little confusing, a different version of Adam Warlock came and took the soul of this Adam Warlock, so he would have the knowledge, but yet he is not on the same evolutionary path to become the Magus. So we see that same scene that we saw play out in the Warlock series play out here. It's Starlin basically closing the loop of his own story. And Captain Marvel witnesses all of this, and all we're left with is the dead body of Adam Warlock there, because the Adam Warlock that took the soul then, you know, disappears and goes back to his previous timeline. And Captain Marvel's standing there looking at this apparently dead Adam Warlock as Thor and Iron Man come up and say, "Marvel, what transpires here?" And I love this line from Captain Marvel. He says, "I'm not sure I could explain, so I'll not try. What are the other Avengers?" Well, they're all still back on the other ship fighting, trying to finish destroying the fleet. Meanwhile, we see Adam Warlock in this green tone resurrected. We also see Gamora and Pip the Troll there. And what we learn is that he's actually in the Soul Gem. So this is him being in the Soul Gem, along with Pip the Troll and Gamora, those friends. And they're talking about how living in the Soul Gem is a peaceful existence where everybody there is, their emotions and their feelings and such are open and able to be understood and communicated to everybody else. And so they all feel together, sort of a kumbaya love sort of thing. And that's how the issue ends, with a little blurb saying, "Back in the real world of harsh shadows and sharp angles, Captain Marvel and the Avengers still face the peril of Thanos, a situation to be resolved with the aid of Spider-Man and the Thing." And that's what I'm talking about that goes down in Marvel 2-in-1 Annual Number 2. So again, this does sort of complete this story. It is, you know, if you only want to read this annual and not read anything else, you do get a complete story. Thanos, you know, hatching another plot to have Death love him by snuffing out all the stars. We do get the first hint of the Infinity Gems, although everything is not fleshed out and kind of set up the same way that it will be eventually, with the gauntlet and the gems being not all soul gems, you know, time and power and all that sort of thing. So it's a little different, but you can read this and it's a complete story in and of itself. Obviously, if you've read Thanos things previously, you get more out of it, but as a standalone, it's okay. And then, of course, Thanos does escape, and we get the resolution of the Avengers going up against Thanos, and he does not escape in Marvel 2-in-1 Annual 2, which we'll cover on the next episode. So if you want to know how that all plays out, then obviously be sure and join us. So that's going to do it for this episode. It's a good story. It's a classic story. It's Cosmic Marvel. It's Jim Starlin. So it's real good stuff, stuff I'm very much a fan of. Is it a little messy with the gems not being the gems that we know, at least the ideas? Yes. Is the art a little wonky with Rubenstein inking Starlin? Yes. I'm definitely not a fan of Rubenstein inking Starlin. Love it when he either inks himself or has like Steve Lea Aloha inking him. I think it's a little more pure. Rubenstein just, like I said, puts a little too much of himself in there, but it's definitely classic. And being that it's an early Thanos story and early appearance of the Infinity Gems, it is a little pricey, but you can definitely find it. It has come down from its peak right around, you know, end game time when this first appearance of the Infinity Stones or what have you was really expensive in the secondary market. It's come down a little bit now, but it's also included in several Thanos omnibuy and things like that. So anyway, like I said, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you for joining as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.